Volume 2, Number 232, The Parable of the Lost Sheep. Jesus is speaking to the crowds. Standing on the wooded embankment of a little torrent, he is addressing a large crowd spread in a field where the corn has already been cut and the burnt stubbles are a distressing sight. It is evening. Night is falling. But the moon is already rising. Flocks of sheep are going back to the folds, and the sound of cattle bells mingles with the loud chirping of crickets and the high-pitched drone of chicharras. Jesus takes the passing flocks as a starting point. He says, "Your heavenly Father is like a solicitous shepherd. What does a good shepherd do? He looks for good pastures for his sheep, where there is no hemlock or other poisonous herbs, but there is plenty sweet clover, aromatic mint, and bitter but wholesome chicory. He looks for places where beside good grass there is the cool shade of trees and the clear water of a stream, and he ensures that there are no asps among the green grass. He does not prefer the richest pastures, because he knows that snakes and harmful herbs are quite common there, and thus dangerous for his sheep. He prefers, instead, mountain pastures, where the dew keeps the grass clean and fresh, and the strong sunshine keeps snakes away, and the breezy air is light and healthy, not like the unhealthy air in the plains. The good shepherd watches his sheep one by one. He cures them when they are sick, and if they get hurt, he dresses their wounds. He reproaches the sheep that might be sick because they are too greedy for food, and he calls to a different place the ones that might be harmed by staying too long in a damp spot or in the sunshine. And if one is unwilling to eat, he looks for acidulous aromatic herbs suitable to whet its appetite, and he feeds it with his own hands, speaking to it as if it were a friend. That is what the good Father who is in heaven does with his children wandering on the earth. His love is the staff that gathers them together. His voice is their guide. His law is his pasture, heaven his fold. But one of his sheep left him. How fond of it he was. It was young, pure, white like a cloud in an April sky. The shepherd used to look at it with so much love, thinking of how much good he could do for it, and how much love he could receive from it. And it strayed. A tempter passed on the road that runs along the pasture. He does not wear a plain jacket, but has on a many-colored robe. He does not have a leather belt with hatchet and knife hanging from it, but he wears a golden belt, from which little bells hang, as sweet-sounding as the singing of a nightingale, and files of inebriating scents. He does not carry a shepherd's staff, as the good shepherd does, to gather the sheep together and defend them, and should his staff not be sufficient, he is ready to defend them with his hatchet and knife, and even with his life. But the tempter who is passing by is holding in his hands a thurible, sparkling with gems, and from it smoke rises, which is stench and scent at the same time. And it bewilders as the sparkling of the fake jewels dazzles. He passes by singing and drops handfuls of salt, which shines on the dark road. 99 sheep look and remain where they are. The 100th, the youngest and dearest one, makes a leap and disappears behind the tempter. The shepherd calls it, but it does not come back. It runs faster than the wind to join the tempter who has just gone by, and to sustain itself while running, it tastes some of the salt. which as soon as it is swallowed, causes a strange burning frenzy, so that the poor sheep craves for cool water in the deep green shades of forests. And following the tempter, it goes into the forest, and it climbs and descends and falls, once, twice, three times. And each time, it feels round its neck the slimy embrace of reptiles, and being thirsty, it drinks foul water, and when it is hungry, it eats herbs shining with revolting slobber. And in the meantime, what does the good shepherd do? He leaves the 99 faithful ones in a safe place, and he sets out, and does not stop until he finds traces of the lost sheep. Since it does not come back to him, although he calls it in a loud voice, begging the wind to carry his call to it, he goes to the sheep. And he sees it from afar, intoxicated in the coils of reptiles, so intoxicated that it does not feel nostalgia for the man who loves it. On the contrary, it mocks him, and he is aware that it is guilty of entering, like a thief, the abode of other people, so guilty that it dare not look at him. And yet the good shepherd does not become tired, and he goes on looking for it all the time, following its traces and weeping when he loses them. Strips of fleece, traces of its soul, traces of blood, various crimes, filth, proofs of its lust. But he goes on and reaches it. I have found you, my beloved one. I reached you at last. How far have I walked for you to take you back to the fold? Do not bend your dejected head. Your sin is buried in my heart. Nobody will know about it except me, and I love you. I will defend you from the criticism of other people. I will shield you with my body to protect you against the stones of accusers. Come, are you wounded? Oh, let me see your wounds. I know them, but I want you to show them to me with the confidence you had when you were pure, and you looked at me, your shepherd and your God, with innocent eyes. There they are. They have all the same name. How deep they are! Who inflicted these very deep ones in the depth of your heart? It was the tempter, I know. It is he who has neither staff nor hatchet, but he strikes more deeply with his poisonous bite. And after him, the false jewels of his thurible strike, the ones that seduced you by sparkling. And they were hellish sulfur brought to daylight to burn your heart. Look how many wounds, how much torn fleece, how much blood and how much bramble. Oh, my poor, little disappointed soul. But tell me, if I forgive you, will you still love me? Tell me, if I stretch out my arms to you, will you come to them? Tell me, do you thirst for good love? Well, come and be born again. Come back to the holy pastures. Weep, your tears and mine will wash the traces of your sin, and in order to nourish you, because you're worn out by the evil which has burnt you. I open my chest and my veins, and I say to you, feed on them and live. Come here that I may take you in my arms. We will walk faster to the safe holy pastures. You will forget everything of this miserable hour, and your 99 good sisters will rejoice at your return. Because I tell you, my little lost sheep, which I have looked for coming from far away, and I reached and saved, I tell you, there is more rejoicing among the good for one who was lost and has been found than for 99 just who never left the fold. Jesus has never turned round to look at the road behind him, and on which Mary of Magdala has arrived in the dim light of the evening. she is most elegant, but at least she's dressed, and she is wearing a dark veil which conceals her features and figure. But when Jesus continues his speech from the words, "I found you, my beloved one," Mary hides her hands under her veil and weeps, softly and continuously. People cannot see her because she's on this side of the embankment which runs along the road. Only the moon, now high in the sky, and Jesus' spirit can see her. And he says to me, "The comment is in the vision itself, but I shall speak to you again about it. Rest now, because it is time. I bless you, my faithful Mary."